Let's sing that. Will you play No Other Name? No other name but the name of Jesus. I want to speak today on getting to your next level. We talked about what is your next level last week, and today is about getting to your next level. What is your next level? Are you moving forward in God's purpose? By the way, they're going to be handing out the notes. There's nothing to fill in for quite a while, so go ahead and let them do that. Are you heading forward in God's purpose for your life, or you're going backward into fleshly desires? Lot's wife went backward when Lot and himself and his children went forward. There's one little three-word, kind of a stinging verse that reminds us all of the purpose of somebody that did not get to the next level of God's goodness in their life. God has a next level of goodness and grace for you. So, tell the person next to you, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Something got into her heart that didn't belong there. Something took a hold of her that was stronger than the grip of the Lord on her soul. And she never made it to the next level. Jesus has said it this way. He said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Demas, a protege of Paul in the Bible, was serving Jesus on Paul's church planting team, but then he began to love the world more than he loved Jesus. And Paul reports that Demas had forsaken him and loved this present world. And there's a verse in the Bible. It's one of the most heart-wrenching verses. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Those are on the negative side. Those are the sad stories. Those are the ones that didn't make it. Those are the ones that are reminders that you can make it. Paul also, he declares to us, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. How many remember Paul's story? It's incredible. Paul was one bad dude. He was a monster. He was breathing threats down and taking the church out. And he had a confrontation with Jesus Christ. And he fell in love with him. He changed radically. Everything changed on the inside of this man. He was one that, he was so religious. Have you ever run into people that are so religious that just so that you can't stand them? Paul was that on steroids. You just felt bad around him because he was so self-righteous. That's the kind of guy. But then God takes a self-righteous guy and he changes his heart. And he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, elbow somebody and tell them, you're not going backwards. You're not going backwards. You're going forward. You're going forward and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'll tell you what, just go ahead and slap them. Go ahead and slap them, tell you. Let's say you're going forward, not backward. Go ahead and slap. Go ahead and poke them. Go ahead and poke them a little bit. You're going for, somebody needs to become aware that God has a purpose. Dwayne, he's got purpose for you. There's influence through your life. There's something gratifying that you're going to experience from the Lord's work in your life. I can see it. And there's a joy coming to you. You've tasted it somewhere. You had a good taste of it. And the Lord's bringing it
full circle. He's going to cause you to have a goodness flow into your soul. Paul said, I'm not going back, and you're not going back. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Everybody say this. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So are you pressing forward to your next level? Everything, especially fear, is set against you getting to your next level. How are you going to get there? How are you going to rise up to the next level that God has for you? God is taking you from glory to glory. He's got a plan. He's going to go from one degree of glory to another level of glory in your life. If you're going to go up in the glory of God, let me tell you what's not going with you. Fear is not going with you. Fear will try to stop you. Fear will just show up for no reason and try to talk you out of the next level. Fear will try to make your heart shrivel up, back off, turn around, and head the other way. Isn't that right? That's why fear can't go where you're going. Where you're going, fear can't go. Say, fear, you can't go. Say, shame, this is your stop. Get off the bus. Where I'm going, you cannot go. Say, doubt, your ride ends here, and you're getting off with fear. Listen, this whole thing's going. Say, where I'm going, you cannot go, because Jesus and I have plans together. And I know that you've tried to stop me, fear, in the past. I know you've kept me from God's best. I know that you think you're my friend. But today, I'm going up, and you're going down. I'm moving forward, and you're staying back. You used to trick me into holding hands with bitterness. Isn't that right? In the name of Jesus, I'm leaving fear behind. Fear, we're parting ways. You've been like an arrow in my heart, and I'm pulling you out. According to Psalm 91, verse 5, I will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. And I'm pulling you out, you arrow of fear. You've pierced my heart, and you're coming out of my life. I'm renouncing your power, and I'm pulling you out and throwing you down. Let's just go ahead and say, I'm receiving the anointing to destroy fear in my life. Last Sunday afternoon, as I was heading home, the Lord said, well, you've said now to the people, what's your next level? Now I want you to talk to them about getting to your next level and destroying fear. So this is on the Lord's heart. It's just crystal clear. And I said, well, where do you want me to go? And I found a portion of Scripture. And it's all based on 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm just going to, you know the story well, but I want to just take three little points out of it and kind of move towards something involving David. Hallelujah. Here's your first fill in the blank on your paper. The devil gathers to do battle with you. The devil gathers to do battle with you. The very first verse of 1 Samuel 17 says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. The Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. When you look up the Philistines, they represent almost a perpetual war against the Israelites. Again and again, they are the thorn in the side of God's people. But gradually over seasons, they tamed them into submission. That's the picture. And by the time Jesus rolled around, they weren't even existent anymore. Praise the Lord. And when Jesus rolls around in your life, even though fear comes to destroy and to work against you, there can come up in your life a destruction and overthrow of the work of fear. Praise the Lord. John 10:10, we have a scripture up there. It says, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. He does not come except to do this. But Jesus has come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Take your choice. There is no middle ground. If you're in his camp, you're always going to be stolen from and robbed. Things are going to die off. Everything's going to go wrong because the devil only comes to steal from your life. And one of his tactics is to cause you to have the fear of losing something. He promotes the fear of losing your life, the fear of losing your health, the fear of losing your relationships, the fear of losing your money, the fear of losing your future, the fear of losing your children. It's fear, fear, fear. He promotes the fear of abandonment. He promotes the fear of rejection, the fear of being forsaken, the fear of exposure, the fear of shame. Every fear imaginable, you've been touched with it, and I've been touched with it. Is that right? He wants you to live in a state of fear. He wants you to live in a state of anxiety. He wants you to just live in a state of terror. He just wants you to be fearful. I met people completely fearful. Fearful all the time. Nothing's happening. It's always fearful. There's nothing going on. Nothing's wrong. But they're fearful. They're full of anxiety. Nothing's even bad. They're always anxious. They're always anxious because something happened to them. And if the devil can't destroy your marriage, he wants to steal the joy out of it. If he can't take something, he'll promote something. He'll promote anxiety. He'll promote it. He'll cause you to start. Have you ever been just sitting there and minding your own business? Suddenly you start worrying about something. You have nothing. There's nothing. It just starts on you. What is that chatterbox stuff? What is that stuff that just comes and starts to speak to you? Do you know you have dominion over that?
Yeah, you do.
I didn't see enough heads bobbing. And if the devil is not contending you for some territory in your soul, then guess what? He already has it. You've already surrendered to him. You're already on his team. But when you start to rise up, that's when the battle begins. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Some of you are going to be like Moses. I have that scripture up. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Say this with me. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Come on. You know how short-lived sin is. You know how short-lived giving yourself over to that stuff is. You pay out way more than you get. You stay so much longer than you wanted to. It's so much more ruinous and destructive than you actually first planned. Is that right? The fear of exposure is like, I blew it. Then it's like, oh, I can't tell anybody. And now you're in the dark. And now you're joined up with the one who's boxing your ears in. It's miserable. Somebody tell somebody, darkness is miserable. It's miserable. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. There's a reward in walking with Jesus Christ. There's a reward. 2 John verse 8 says, look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. I want to encourage someone here. This has just come to my spirit. You've been knocked back, but the Lord went back with you. You've been knocked back, but the Lord went back to get you. You're not alone. There is a fear that comes and says, it's all over, it's too late, and that's a lie.
Amen.
The Lord's come back for you. Praise the Lord. Somebody just worship this. Just thank Him. Praise the Lord. It's not over. It's not over. There's a tender mercies sense in the room right now. The Lord, because see, fear says it's all over. Fear says it's you guys go ahead and give up. Fear does a number on you. Fear says, you can. You got to rise up and receive the helping hand of the Lord. The Lord will pull you out. It doesn't matter what you got on you, He'll clean it off. It doesn't matter what you got in you, He'll clean it out. The Lord is not intimidated. When it comes to your failure and my failure, he's been around a while. He knows it'll take a little time to straighten us out. Is that right? Says you built up quite a desire for something that's unhealthy for you, but we're going to work on that desire. And you're going to start craving me more than the world. The devil gathers his army together to do battle against you. That's number two. The devil defies who you are in Christ. Now you got to see the scene. What happened in our story in 1 Samuel 17 is that the Philistines were in perpetual war against Israel, showed up on one side of a valley, and all the Israelites are on the other side of the valley. And now they send down their biggest, baddest dude, Goliath. And Goliath has a whole string of things I'm not going to get into because that's not the message today. But this is the message. Goliath stands there and defies them without picking up one spear and throwing it. He's putting spears into their souls. He's putting arrows into their heart. He's causing them to feel hurt already, and he hasn't even lifted a finger. All he's done is speak. The word declares it, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words, they just heard the words. What words have you been hearing lately? What words have defied your God and defied your walk with Jesus? What's caused you to back off, caused you to be intimidated, caused you to recoil? Because look what happened. It says, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the adversary wants to paralyze you. He wants to cause you to give up and cause you to withdraw, cause you to back off, cause you to quit moving forward. That's what he's all about. You know, even with Elijah, Jezebel said, we're going to kill you. And he ran away because he was afraid. Didn't even send an army after him. The devil, all he has to do is get you to believe his lie. And then, of course, their hearts became pierced and they were intimidated. And there's some of you in here today that you've been pierced in your hearts. And there's an intimidation about moving forward. And the Lord loves you deeply, and he understands. And he has a tender mercies for you because he understands that hopes deferred make the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And things happen in life that cause the heart to go sick. And then it comes into a place where you're afraid to get your hopes up. Because, are you ready? Here's a person with so much potential. But you got to set the potential aside for a moment and look for the pattern. Because there's a pattern. And there's a pattern of heart sickness. And there's a pattern of, I'm afraid that if I try again, I'll fail. There's something that comes around and people begin to give up and become fearful. Can they accomplish it? And everybody has some area in some fashion that this is addressing. I don't know your story. I don't know the exact area of your heart. But I want you to know you have an adversary that has been speaking words to try to debilitate your heart. Amen. And to cause you to come under the spell of fear and to back off. And when you get up to go after that thing again, you feel intimidated and push back. Is that right? Or am I the only one in here that's ever dealt with the devil? When you've hurt and there's a bruising and your hope's been defeated and you feel heart sick in an area, it's very difficult to move forward because you feel like it's going to happen again. And then you go forward and it does happen again and you're stuck and there's the pattern. And so after a while you just say, I'm not going to do anything. And fear has now got, you've just built the prison right around you. Is that right? And without throwing a javelin, he threw a javelin with his words. And they're all dismayed, and they're greatly afraid. And he's standing up there, and he's just yelling at them because he's intimidating. And the devil wants to always come and appear greater. I got some good news for you. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Somebody just has to say, happy, happy, happy. But perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And the Lord says, I want to do some perfecting in your heart. I want to get something in you that you haven't had. The biggest change in my life came when the Lord began to deal with me, when he spoke to me and he said, Roger, you're not rooted in my love. You're rooted in the fear of being rejected in the past. And I'm going to deal with the root of rejection inside of you. And it was when it started to come up and come out, it was not easy. It was like somebody was pulling my guts up out of me through my toenails. I mean, all the way up that far. It was a mess. I was like rooted in love because I wanted to be loved, but there was another force in there. And fear had gotten this and entrenched itself in my soul. And then God says, we're going to get you rooted and grounded in love. We're going to change this. I'm here to tell you today that the Lord got through. And I don't have an expectation of rejection and fear. I don't have an expectation of that anymore. I expect love. I expect it. I give it and I expect it. Some of you know that. There's some of you come in here and you know, this guy actually cares about me and I can't even figure it out. You know why? Because I'm not rooted in that. I'm not rooted in what you've been rooted in. I was rooted in that, but that's been rooted out. And the Lord says, you come in here, I'll root it out of you. And we'll get it out of here. We're going to take it out. You got to get it out. How in the world does fear have torment? I'll just tell you real quick. I got to fly here, but I want to tell you, it happened in the garden. After they fell, God said, where are you? And these are the first words. When we heard your voice in the garden, I was afraid. And fear came right there. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And the Lord says, I want my voice to be the sweetest thing that happens to you. Not to be afraid of it, but to be restored by it. And I want to tell you, hearing the voice of Jesus restores you. I have had things where the Lord has to tell me, and it's almost like the scariest thing around, but then he says it so sweetly, I want to do it. The Lord will put hope in you when you haven't had any. His words come, and when his current words come to you and come to your heart, you want to rise up and be better. And his words empower you to become that. It's amazing. Some of you, the Lord has come along and said, well, you're just this way, and you've repeated it. And it's a lie because you're not that way. But you became that way because you repeated what the devil said. And you got to break agreement with it. He come up and said, well, you're just so rebellious. And you say, well, I'm just rebellious. And that's a lie. Well, you're just afraid. And you're not really afraid. But you agreed with it. And now you've given place to it. Is that right? Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption whom we cry out, by whom we cry out, Abba Father. Everybody say, Abba Father.
Abba.
Look at somebody and say, the Lord gave me a spirit of love. He adopted me. He didn't give me the spirit of fear. And the other part of this, I don't put it up here, but it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. I don't know who this is for, but I want to say this. I just felt this scripture almost like doesn't fit in here, but it says, he's numbered your wanderings and he's put your tears in a bottle. And are they not in your book? The Bible says that he has taken the griefs and the hurts and the pains of your soul and he's dropped them in a bottle. And the Lord so tenderly cares about you. He wants you to know that all the things that you have suffered with, he's felt the pain of them. And he's actually cherished your griefs and he's put your tears in a bottle. And somewhere in the realm of the Spirit, he's got your tears stored up. Because he's a healer. And he heals all those griefs. And he heals all those places. And number three, your victory is already given to you in Christ. Already. Already. Your victory is already given to you. What happened is David came up and he said, "You come with me with a sword and a spear and a javelin." And David had a different attitude. He says, "Well, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Go ahead and tell the devil, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Whom the God of the armies of heaven," come on, "whom you have defied. I'm coming against you, fear. I'm coming against you, intimidation. I'm coming against you because this battle is not even mine. He's already won this battle. And now he's going to give you into my hand." How did David do that? Well, he's learning the Word of God. He's learning the Word of God. He's out there under the stars and he's writing, taking the Word of God and he's turning it into poetry. And he's got this thing about restoration. He's got this spirit of restoration. He's been restored. How in the world did he get restored? He said, "I'll tell you how I got restored. Because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." And you know what he does? He leads me to places of rest. I got some green pastures I can feed. He takes care of me. And then he leads me beside the still waters. He calms me down. I'm restored. And you know what happens? When you're restored, he leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says, look, a restored heart says, "When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." A restored heart is delivered from fear. I'm fearless. Isn't that great? "For you are with me, your rod and your staff." Here's the coolest thing. The rod, hey, if you need a little whack on the hiney, God will give it to you. When you've been a boob, if you've fallen down in the hole, God says, I'll go ahead and take the crook of your staff and I'll pull you out. Because I'm with you. And the reason I'm pulling you out, because I wanted to get you over here to the table I've prepared. We're going to all gather at the table and I've just made a party for you here. And now all your enemies are going to look and see me rejoicing over you. That's what the restored heart gets. The restored heart actually wants the enemies to have the goodness of what he has. The restored heart doesn't have the bitterness. The restored heart says, "Man, I've gone through the restoration process. I have God on my side. I got this help in my soul. And now he's anointing my head with oil. And this cup is running over on me. Oh my God. I'm restored, I'm restored, I'm restored." Because David was restored, he could go ahead and in the desert. He wasn't afraid of the lion and he wasn't afraid of the bear. A restored heart is a fearless heart. It doesn't have the same problems with fear. And so this thing rises up and he goes, "In the name of the..." You know why David used a rock instead of throwing a spear? Because a rock is our God. He pulled a rock out, says, "I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. The rock, Christ Jesus. I'm going to take you down." Wham! He goes down. He breaks the power of intimidation with a rock. And that's your salvation, and that's my salvation. Praise the Lord. So, I get to this little place here, and I want to put this scripture up, Ephesians 6:16. Everybody look at this with me. "Above all, He's talking about the armor, talking about the armor, talking about the armor. And then he says, above all. In other words, I'm going to get to the real important thing right now. I'm going to get to the above all part. I want you to understand this is of supreme importance. I want you to know about the shield of faith that quenches fiery darts of the wicked one. Because you're in a war and fiery darts come at you. And when they come at you, your faith in Christ Jesus quenches the fiery dart. You know what the fiery dart's for? Fire is supposed to burn something out of you. It's supposed to hurt. It represents the pain that came into your life. It represents the hurt that pierced you. It's the pain and the hurt of what went wrong. That's what it is. And the word dart is actually the word for missile, for javelin, for spear. Some people it was a little dart, other people it was a harpoon, went right through you. I had a harpoon. When we pulled it out, there was a big hole. God says, we're going to go ahead and fill that up with love, and we're going to heal you. And here, you know, you're saying, Pastor, it's too late. I didn't know about the shield of faith in time. I'm full of arrows. How many of you know that there's a fear of abandonment? There's a fear of, is anybody going to be there for me? Is there fear? And the Lord says, here's what we'll do with that. Just like a good medic. A good medic will come up. I remember when I got this fish hook in my thumb. It was glad it wasn't a rusty one. I was about, 10 years old, and I jumped off of a pier over at Outer Banks and came up and I had a fish hook in my thumb. And it had a hook in it. I went to a place and they pumped some Novocaine in it and pushed it all the way through and cut it off and pulled it out. Sometimes the arrow just push it through. Let's go ahead and get it healed. Because it makes a mark. Do you know that the mark can be healed? You can take the pain out of the mark. The mark's left over. The mark makes you legit. The scars create a capacity for you to minister to other people. Now here's what we're going to do today. I'm sure some of you have said, oh no, it's too late. I already got the arrows. Well, here's the deal. Today, we're going to take some arrows out. Today, you say, well, God, I remember when it happened. I got hurt. And when every time I think about it, I got kind of teary. So we're going to take the arrow out. We're going to have you say, take the arrow out. We're going to take the arrow out. We're going to take out the fear. We're going to take out the fear of abandonment. Take out the fear of rejection. How? You do it in the name of the Lord. What you do is you say, Father God, I am so sorry. Say that, Father God, I'm so sorry that I was hurt like this. And it is my choice to forgive the person that hurt me. I forgive you. Say it deep, I forgive you. So let it go out. Let it go out. Let it go out. That's part of the healing right there. Let the healing begin already. Let the healing begin. I forgive in the name of Jesus. I forgive in the name of Jesus. I forgive in the name of Jesus. There's somebody had a traumatic thing happen. It was overwhelming to you and you kind of numbed out. The Lord says, I'm here to heal you from where you numbed out. It was traumatic. It was overwhelming. You just shut down. The Lord says, I'm awakening a hope in you to deal with it. I'm going to cause a healing to come and you're going to not feel numbed out. You're going to feel love again. You're going to feel love again. You're going to feel love again. The Lord's going to love that wounded place. He's going to love that wounded place inside. Let's praise Him right now. Let's praise Him and open to that. Say these words, fear of abandonment. You're not going where I'm going. Fear of rejection. You can't go with me. You get off here. In the name of Jesus. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah.